Blog Talk Radio. that's it. That's what we're trying to say tonight. That's what I'm going to be trying to say tonight. To be real. To be real. How real can we get it? Where it relates to racial matters and solutions. How real? That means based on reality. Can we get it? I know racism ain't nothing simple. I know it's one of those complicated subjects that a whole lot of people just wish would go away. But that's not being responsible, folks. Just wishing something go away. I mean, what if we did that with every aspect of our life? Just wish our bills go away. I mean, for real, how far would we get if we just wish stuff go away? So, tonight, Brother Seth, coming at you again with another episode of Blog Talk Radio. We are your host, Five Smooth Stones. And tonight is Tuesday night. And what is Tuesday night, folks? Racial Matters and Solutions. Racial Matters and Solutions. Now, tonight, on that subject, we're going to be specifically programming under the title, To Blacks, It's Not Our Fault. To Blacks, It's Not Our Fault. This is the cry of many of our so-called white brothers and sisters to our so-called black brothers and sisters. It's not our fault. So in a minute, we'll get into that. First and foremost, I just want to thank you for your time. You did not have to come this way. There are so many other blogs you could have been listening to, so I just want to thank you for choosing again to stop by the chat room, as some of you already have done, and to also stop by and call, as some of you already is on the phone line. So, again, I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Blog Talk Radio with your host, Five Smooth Stones. I am Brother Seth. And I just say it every single week, but I really do mean your brother. I mean, and by that I mean someone that is just going to keep it real with you, like the song just said. Keep it real, keep it honest. And these days, folks, you got to be careful who you listen to when it comes down to your sanity and your spirituality, because there are many people that are doing what they do for monetary gains. And I tell everybody, if you want to know truth, you got to sometimes go to people that don't have nothing to lose. I'm not saying I don't have nothing, but I'm just saying I don't have millions to lose. Had I had millions, maybe the truth might be tampered with. I doubt it, but you never know. People change when they get income. And I just want to say shalom to everybody, peace to everyone in the chat room and on the phone lines. I see you. I am epic. Good to see you so early. And on the phone lines also, we got people. It's good to see y'all here early. When we get to start, we all start at the same time. I just want to to say that this topic tonight is designed to bring us together. I know I talk about race a lot, and my heart is really into this topic. I don't just talk about it to get people. I don't just talk about it to get a following. I don't just talk about it to get attention. I talk about it because I've been talking about it all my life. Anybody that knows me personally knows, no matter what we talk about, no matter how long whoever I talk to, sooner or later you're going to hear five topics, which is what I call today Five Smooth Stones, which I believe is my calling. Now, yes, I was called to the ministry in 1982, and I preached what everybody commanded to preach, and that is the gospel. Every believer is called to draw people to the Most High. Everybody. If you call yourself a believer or a Christian or a follower of the Most High, you're supposed to be doing that. Your life and your example and what you teach should be bringing people closer to the Most High. I don't care if you're not standing up in some official capacity. So A lot of people call themselves, I'm called to preach, I'm called to preach. But they preaching what everybody is supposed to preach. But it wasn't until later on in 1988, even up to today, that I began to start understanding my deeper calling, and that is to deal with five topics that really is just five subjects that came from a conversation I had with the Most High, deep, deep in prayer. You know how sometimes you pray and then there's those times you really pray. Well, in 1988, I had one of those times where I really was crying out, not crying, but in my heart of hearts, I was really upset with a lot of the things I was hearing. Within the religious community. And I was just upset, and I prayed time, and I asked him for guidance where it relates to understanding the Bible, where it relates to who's in the Bible, who are these people, did anybody look like me? I kept hearing back then that the Most High was getting ready to put his word in the black man like never before, first going to be last going to be first. And I thought that was great that the Most High is getting ready to raise up the black man, but why would he raise up the black man? I mean, even though I was by society called a black man, I had trouble with hearing those prophecies. And some of you remember that, where a lot of ministers were saying, the Most High is getting ready to raise up the black man. The Most High is getting ready to raise up the black man. Well, Kenneth Copeland at the Southwest Believers Convention in 1987 said that. And then he said it again in 1988. But in 88, I found that a lot of time white people, when they don't want you to progress or when they have hidden fears or hidden prejudices of you progressing, a lot of times they'll say things like, you're getting ready to, God's getting ready to, or man, you're going to be a great this one day, or you know what, you're going to be able to run this company one day. They'll always put it out there in the future, and that's just another form of racism. So I was just didn't want to hear. It just didn't hit me when he said it again in 1988 that the Most High was getting ready to raise up the black man like never before, and the first is going to be last, and last is going to be first. Anybody attended that Believers Convention, and I know it was some 15, 20,000 people that were there, know of this prophecy that went forth both in 87, 88. Make the long story short, I prayed to the Most High regarding that. And asking him about the Bible and who's in the Bible, and it doesn't matter what color Christ was to me, but was there anybody in the Bible that looked like me? I asked him what was really going on. I kept hearing of things like there's a so-called New World Order and Illuminati and all these things. I kept hearing about wars being planned as far as 30 years ahead. I kept hearing about just secret society and Masons, and I just felt like ABC, CBS, CNN, these people were not telling us the truth. And so I inquired on my father's lap, so to speak, what is going on in our world? And what is what you using this so-called black man? Or why would you use the black man? What if a white man cry out to you and obey you and follow your words and please you? You still going to use the black man? I like that because I was a black man. But for those of you that think I'm racist, I want you to hear me on this. I felt like that teaching in 1987, when I initially heard it, around that time I started hearing this, I initially thought these people that were saying that were possibly racist or preaching a racist doctrine, because the Most High does not look at color. He don't care what color you are. He's just looking for those that worship him in spirit and in truth. So I had trouble with the doctrine that went forth in 1987 when I first heard that the Most High is getting ready to raise the black man like never before, and first is going to be last, and last is going to be first. So that prayer, I said all of that to say that prayer, folks, me asking about those, then I also asked, could I see the world? Because I didn't want just Americans' version of everything, so I asked the Most High, can I see the world? Can I see another perspective other than America? That was another. I asked him five questions. Did I name five yet? And so, let's see here. I asked him, what is what you're using the black man that sound racist? I say, what is really going on? I mean, what's really going on? not what the news telling us. And then I mentioned, is there any blacks in the Bible? And how, I mean, it doesn't matter to me what color Christ was, but was there anyone in the scripture that looked like African American? It's just a simple question that a child would ask. That's what I asked. And I asked him, could I see the world? That was another one. And I'm trying to think of the last one. Oh, the book of Revelation. Can I understand the book of Revelation? I no longer wanted to trust people like Hilton Sutton, people like Hal Lindsey, people like CBN, Pat Robertson. I didn't want to trust any of these white males to tell me about our future because they had demonstrated for sure over the years that they was irresponsible when it come down to talking to black people about their true accomplishments, who they are as a people, and just about what the Most High is going to be doing with them. I didn't trust these white ministers to tell me any more about what the Most High is going to do with us. They'll preach certain things up to a certain point, and then when it comes down to really telling us what's really going on, and one more thing I want to add to that is Kenneth Copeland also at the Believers Convention of 1988, those of you that was there, I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's big here. So this convention, this, a lot of you remember this convention. But one other thing he said that pissed me off was he said that, again, like I said, the Most High is getting ready to use the black man like never before. The first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. After he said that, he says, I've got something to tell black people. I've got something to tell black people, but right now I just can't share it. That just pissed me off. Here we were as a people just looking for answers, going to these almost all-white crusade conventions, showing that we are not racist. We're trying to worship with our brothers and sisters, and we hear something like that from the pulpit. So that spawned the five smooth stones, the five smooth songs, the five topics we talk about here, and that is racism, which is what we're dealing with tonight. Okay, racism, which is what we're doing tonight. The one world government, which we talk about that on Thursday, that is devoted to what's really going on in our world. We go into the spiritual realm. We talk about how everything started with the spiritual realm, trickle down through these secret societies, trickle down into everyday events. We talk about what is really going on in our world. So that's another answer I got from the Most High. Y'all have got to tune in on Thursday to hear that. White supremacy deals with how the lies we've been told about history, and that, in fact, the scripture, the book, the Bible, is a book of people of color, and that white skin was only introduced or only came on the scene as a result of a curse, and that is so true. Black people, so-called black people and so-called white people are the same people. One have more pigment than the other, and losing pigmentation in biblical days was associated with the curse. So the Most High began to answer my question. Yes, he did say he did allow me to see other countries other than the United States version of what is going on. I've been able to see a lot of countries, folks, a lot of countries, a lot of places. I've been to China. I've been to India. I've been to a lot of places in Europe, Great Britain, Italy, Rome. I've been to Australia. I've been to Papua New Guinea. I've been to Guam. I've been to Japan, if I didn't already mention that. I've been throughout the Caribbean. I've been to South America. I've been to Venezuela. I've been to Brazil. I've been to so many other versions of what reality is outside of the United States. So the Most High answered my prayer in that. But those places, as exotic as they were, and they're like I said, it's something like 24 countries, as nice as they were, that wasn't the blessing. The blessing was who I met when I traveled to these various places and how they played a part. There was a brother that dropped the bomb on me with regards to leprosy in Toronto, Canada. Okay, and then certain other things happened when I was in Israel. Israel I went to the most. I've been to Israel more than I've been anywhere, and I used to go every year. And in Israel, I just learned so many things. If you ever go to Israel, go check out the people at kingdomofyah.com. Do not fool with those white Israelis. We're paying them all that money to show you. To hide stuff from you. All they're going to do is just hide you for 3 or 4 days.
I mean, hide you from what's really going on. That's all they're going to do. They're just going to take you here, take you there, and hide stuff. They're not going to show you the true black or non-white presence in that land. Folks, that land is Africa. I don't respect the Suez Canal and the man-made division, dividing up those. Come on now, you're in Africa, for real.
Israel is in Africa, I'll say it all day long. As a matter of fact, my brothers and sisters in Dimona, who I would go visit, would often say, welcome to North Africa. I used to love hearing them say that. Welcome to North Africa. Rather than say welcome to Israel, they said welcome to North Africa. But anyway, tonight we're dealing with racism. We're going to get into this hard and heavy. Yes, yes, yes. And I'm expecting a lot of people coming. Again, I sent the reminders out late. I mean, y'all probably said, why do you send the reminders out late every single week? And that's because I'm unorganized and I need a helper or something, because there's so many things I'm trying to do. Else, I just always get around to doing that late. So I literally send reminders out to probably, I don't know, several, lots and lots of people right at about 3 minutes before the show came on, something like that. Anyway, folks, those five topics have dominated my conversation no matter what I talk about. Sooner or later, you're going to hear me get into the book of Revelations, or you're going to hear me talk about how the Bible is full of people of color, and that black folks do have a purpose. And I'm going to bring up whites, and I'm going to bring up how whites come from us. We can never hate white people because we are white people. We just have more pigmentation, if you want to look at it that way. When a black person loses their pigmentation, like when they have vitiligo and their color is all gone, their black is all gone, what color are they? What color is that white skin that they now have, the new skin that they have when they lose pigmentation, vitiligo, like Michael Jackson? What color are they? How white are they when they're finished? They look just like white people. Sometimes they're whiter than white people. As a matter of fact, did you know every non-white nation produce babies, beautiful babies, blonde hair, blue eyes? So what is the definition of a white man anyway? Or what is the definition of a black man anyway? These are new terms we use. We really should stick to the scriptures, where the Bible only divide man by nation, and even in each one of those nations of Genesis, I think chapter 10, there's 70 nations listed there. All 70 of those nations produce they produce blonde hair, blue eyed people. Every nation does. Every nation on the planet produces blonde hair, blue eyed people. So where is the white man's home? Where is the white man originally from? We are white men. Y'all better wake up and quit trying to divide. It's just a new way of dividing us. Racism, classism divided by class. Religion divides us by faith. Sexism divides us by male and female. There's so many isms out there, and racism is just another invention to break us down. There is only 70 nations, and those 70 nations have certain callings as lined out in Revelation, in the book of Revelation. Those 70 nations are going to live out their destiny. Believe that. Some plays the villain. Some plays the hero. Sometimes the hero ends up being the villain. Those 70 nations have certain callings upon them. The Most High have already declared. The problem is we can't figure out, a lot of us, which 70 nations, because right now there's like 200 nations. But really, those 200-some nations that we acknowledge today really comes from only 70. And those 70 nations in the Most High mind is still 70 nations. That's the only division that's really out there. Really, we can't really divide ourselves by that. We just are different based upon our callings as a nation, the different nations. But there are 70 unique nations. There is no such thing as a people based on skin color. White people, in the Most High eyes, do not exist. Black people in the Most High eyes do not exist. Sorry. We use it a lot. We talk about it a lot. We laugh about it a lot. Even we're going to be talking about it here tonight, a lot tonight, but that's only to dismantle the whole philosophy. So let's go ahead and read our show's description so everybody know what we're dealing with tonight. So this
is the show description. And again, thank everybody for joining us in the chat room. We got 24 Dread. I always enjoy hearing that brother. We got Sarge 60. We got I Am Epic and several guests on the phone lines. We got individuals as well. So thank y'all for joining us. Like I said, a lot more is coming. So they're just going to have to miss out. I guess it's my fault. I should have sent them a notice a little earlier. But anyway, here is our show's description. It says, Racial Matters and Solutions. Just so we all on the same page. The topic tonight is to blacks. It's not our fault. And the show description read as such. To all black people, it is not our fault, whites, for your pathetic state as a people. What our forefathers did to you isn't our fault. They were responsible for their action. Geesh, that was hundreds of years ago. Have you noticed? Get over it and forgive, as so many of you preach. Get over it and forgive, as so many of you preach. We are so blankly blank tired of hearing black people bitch over and over about how white people have destroyed their infrastructure. Again, it ain't our fault, or it ain't our blankety fault. African American has had far too much time to get themselves together, many times over. Foreigners are making you look stupid, or should I say foolish. I love all people, but this is one thing that I so hold against African Americans. I, too, am impressed by black history. But this stupor has millions of unsuccessful millions unsuccessful and blaming the white men at every turn. Okay, then I say, Shalom, peace everyone. Tonight we discuss the above comment or thought pattern. Does this person have a heck of a point? Or is there another way to look at why so-called African Americans are for sure at the bottom of every aspect of not just the U.S. society, but any society where they are the minority to so-called whites? Nothing seems to be more destructive as racism divided by skin color. This lie, this illusion, this foolishness, this stronghold, this ideology, this deception will again tonight take a beating. Let's talk. That's our show, folks. That is what we're talking about tonight. So I am going to just take a little drink here, my black tea. No, this is not black tea, green tea. And we will be right back to swing at those comments, to agree with those. Some of y'all might want to agree with those comments. And so we'll be right back. Okay? We'll be right back. Okay, we'll let that play in the back. I want to play something by a very important brother to me named Tim Wise. Yes, he's a white man, but he's still my brother. I want y'all to check this out, and then when Tim gets done with his little short presentation here, audio, we're going to really talk. But this is a white man. Listen to what this white man has to say about white culture, white people, and I'll be right back. Check this out. You might want to get your notepads, recorders, just whatever, because Tim Wise is about to drop this on you. Make a note of this, brother. Put him in your archives. He's a strong brother speaking out against white supremacy. Watch this.
Because if you know the history of the whole concept of whiteness, if you know the history of the whole concept of the white race, where it came from and for what reason, you know that it was a trick, and it's worked brilliantly. See, prior to the mid to late 1600s in the colonies of what would become the United States, there was no such thing as the white race. Those of us of European descent did not refer to ourselves by that term really ever before then. In fact, in the old countries of Europe, we had spent most of our time killing each other. We didn't love each other. We weren't one big happy family. The side of my family that comes from Scotland, hell, they didn't even worry about fighting people outside of Scotland. Highlanders and Lowlanders just fought the hell out of each other. So there was no white race, but in the colonies of what would become the United States, what did we see in the 1660s, 1670s? We began to see that Africans of indentured servant status, many of them not enslaved yet, they were not necessarily permanently enslaved. Some were, others were indentured like many poor Europeans for periods of 7 to 11 years. They could work off their indenture and then they would be free labor technically. Realized, as did the white indentured servants, the Europeans who hadn't even been called white yet, that they had a lot of things in common, like the fact that they were all getting their clock cleaned by the elite. And so they would get together more than our history books taught us to foment rebellion against the elite, to try to get a better deal for themselves on the basis of economic necessity and economic justice. And what did the elite do? When you see that you're outnumbered by black and white folks who are penniless, landless, peasants, you have to do one of two things. You either have to kill them all, but you can't do that because who's going to work? Rich folks weren't going to. They had to get poor people to work. Whole point was to be a person of leisure back in those days. That was the goal, was not to work. So you couldn't kill them all. You didn't want to kill them all. You had to do the work yourself, not to build your own levee, build your own house. No. Pick your own tobacco. Harvest your own cotton. No, we're not going to do any of that. So you can't kill them, but you can co-opt them. And so the elite in Virginia, for example, in the colony, begins to give certain carrots to people of European descent, saying things like, you know, we're going to let you own a little land. Not much, but just a little. And we're going to get rid of indentured servitude. Now you're free labor. And by the way, once you're free labor, you get 50 acres of land just because you're free labor, see? So we're going to cut you in on this deal. We're going to let you enter into contracts. We're going to let you testify in court. And here's the best of all. We're going to put you on the slave patrol to keep those people in line, right? The idea was you're still going to get your clock clean. We still don't like you. We still aren't going to really empower you or change your economic subordination, but we're going to make you honorary members of this team, and you're going to help us keep those other people down. And so they got a little taste of power, and it did effectively divide and conquer those coalitions. Those rebellions began to stop almost instantly. Fast forward to the Civil War era, you have rich white folks in the South, where I come from, standing up and openly admitting that the reason they're prepared to secede from the Union and the only reason they ever articulated publicly ever was to maintain and extend slavery and white supremacy not only where it already existed, but into the newly acquired, that is to say, stolen territories from Mexico to the West. That was what they said. Now we lie about it. We say it wasn't about slavery, that it was about states' rights. Yes, the right of the states to keep and maintain slaves, exactly. But back then they had no shame, so they didn't try and cover it up. They openly said it, but once again, the rich didn't want to go do the work. Are you kidding? No. They're going to get poor people to go fight for them. And the poor folks didn't even own slaves. Now think, how do you get poor people who don't even own the shirt on their back, let alone slaves, to go fight to keep your slaves for you? You've got to convince them that their skin is more important than their economic interest. Because think about it. If I am a farmer who has to charge you $1 a day or $2 a week to work on your farm and harvest that tobacco or pick that cotton, but you can get a black person to do it for free, because you own them, who's going to get the job? Not me. In other words, slavery actually undermined the wages and the wage base, the economic floor of the typical white working class or low-income person. But they were told, if these people are freed, they're going to take your job. No, fool, they got your job. That's the point. And so at some level, again, working class white people being harmed by white privilege, relatively being advantaged, right? Being given a leg up, being given a membership to the club, but in absolute terms being kept economically subordinated by the very thing that gave them a sense of superiority. How's that for irony? Then in the present era, this hasn't stopped. This is not ancient history. Now we have people running around insisting that we should close the border with Mexico because if we don't, the wages of working class people will continue to fall, the implication being that the only reason workers are paid like crap in this country is because the border is open. But if you believe that, you would actually have to believe that if that border were closed, that all these owners of capital and industry would just say, oh, well, you figured us out. Here, it's a raise. Do we really believe that the only thing keeping bosses from paying people more is the presence of low-wage, medium, semi-skilled labor from south of this artificial border? Is that really what we believe? We know that if that border is closed, it isn't going to be closed to capital. It isn't going to be closed to goods. If you have a border that can be crossed by capital looking for the highest return on investment or goods looking for the highest price, but labor is chained to its country of origin, how is that going to work to the benefit of working people? By definition, it doesn't. By definition, it immiserates the working class. Divide and conquer. But the best example of all, perhaps, in the contemporary era in the greater New Orleans area after Katrina, here you have two communities that were the most hard hit. Lower Ninth Ward, mostly black community, 94% African American, about 40% official poverty rate, heavy working class community. And right across the canal, St. Bernard Parish, Chalmette, 95% white, also working class, high levels of poverty, economically very similar. And at the end of the day, in those first few days of September 2005, more similar than they probably would have realized. Because when those levees broke, they all got their stuff jacked. They all got their stuff destroyed. But if you had asked white folks in Chalmette, and I've done it, who was the cause of the problems in the greater New Orleans area prior to that flooding, they would have pointed across that canal at those black folks, wouldn't have called them black folks, and would have said, there, that's the problem. 70% of the white folks in St. Bernard Parish voted for David Duke, white supremacist, neo-Nazi, former head of the largest Ku Klux Klan group in the United States when he ran for governor in 1991. 7 out of 10 gladly voted for him because he was blaming black folks for all of their problems, and they bought it. What's the irony? The irony is that while they were blaming black people for their problems, while they were blaming black people for the conditions of the greater New Orleans area in which they lived, nobody was paying attention, least of all they, to the fact that these white elite politicians, either in Baton Rouge or in Washington, whose job it was to secure those levees, to make sure that levee funds were spent in the proper way and that they were spent at all, those mostly white and mostly elite politicians did nothing. At the end of the day, it wasn't just the black folks in the lower Ninth Ward they didn't care about. They really couldn't have given a rat's ass about those poor and working class white folks either. And yet, when the people of Chalmette, people of St. Bernard Parish got back into session, first time they had a city council meeting, parish council meeting after the flooding, the lights aren't even on yet. The water isn't even hooked up. And the first order of business was to pass
an
ordinance saying that you couldn't rent property in St. Bernard Parish to anyone who wasn't a blood relative. Now, I'll leave it to your imagination as to why you'd want to pass a law. That law had never existed before. But now that it's been emptied out and you don't know who might come back, that's a damn good way to keep black people out, isn't it? Because if you're 95% white to begin with, if you pass an ordinance that says that, that's a great way. You can't say no blacks need apply. You can't say no blacks allowed, but that was an ingenious way to get around the law. Now, they got caught. There was a lawsuit threatened, and they got rid of the ordinance. But my point in bringing it up is to say, once again, divide and conquer is working. These white folks in Chalmette need to march across that canal and join hands with the black folks who've been sitting there more than willing to work with them for an awful long time and march on Baton Rouge and march on D.C. and march on the Corps of Engineers and recognize their commonality of interest. But the whiteness and the lure of whiteness has tricked these have nothing in their bank account white people into believing that they got more in common with the rich white folks on St. Charles Avenue that didn't lose anything in that flooding than they have in common with the black working class folks who live about 500 yards away.
That is Tim Wise, doing what Tim Wise have been doing for a while. We have a question or a comment, area code 760429. Go ahead. You are on the air.
Is that me? Because I don't know what Skype shows in my area code when I call.
Okay, so you didn't have your hand up, question or comment?
No, I did. I'm now that I know you're referring to me, because I don't know what area code is going to show when I call on Skype. So I just want to make sure.
0429. You're on, but you got the mic. What's going on? What do you think of the show so far?
Well, I was just listening to your guy Wise, and I made a comment in the chat room. He sounds like a Marxist to me. He's talking class, race,
okay,
and
hold on.
Focus.
What did he say? What did he say specifically that make him sound like a Marxist?
Okay, specifically, everything is about racial division, class warfare between groups. And, you know, whenever I hear somebody continually referring to focus this and focus that, I think of, a Marxist and Nazis. They use a lot of that stuff, too. And they're both Marxists and Nazis are both leftists, so I'm not surprised. But, look, no one has to tell me about racism. I'm a black man. When I was growing up, I remember seeing the colored drinking fountains, the segregated restrooms, the restaurants that would advertise, we serve colored folks. Or we don't serve colored folks, we serve white only. My relatives down south would tell me as a wiseacre Chicago kid to make sure I didn't do the same kind of things that would wind up getting me killed like Emmett Till, because the memory of Emmett Till's murder was still fresh. When my Chicago neighborhood was racially integrating, I was getting brutally attacked by gangs of white kids who'd sick their kids on me. Their parents would sick their kids on me from their porches when I went through the neighborhood. No one has to tell me about racism. It's evil and it's awful consequences. I've experienced
it
firsthand.
Okay, hold on. Slow down for a second. You said some good stuff there. Let me ask you a question, and I want you to keep that train of thought, but I just want to ask you a question about something you just say so we all can be on the same page. Why were more than one family that was sick there, families coming after you? For what reason?
Because I was black and walking through the neighborhood. I lived in a neighborhood. I moved to an area in Chicago called.
Oh, okay.
Oregon.
I'm sorry. My bad. Because I was sitting up here trying to program stuff. So I think what you were saying, though, these were all white people. I'm thinking they were black.
Well, it was a white neighborhood. But my newly integrating black neighborhood was Roseland Heights. Roseland was the mainly white neighborhood. Mayor Daley, the mayor of Chicago, had engineered the Dan Ryan Expressway so it would create a dividing line between Roseland Heights and Roseland. And when I was a young kid, all the drugstores that had the stuff that young kids wanted, like comic books, balsa wood gliders, marbles, little junk that kids want to get, it was in the white neighborhoods and the white drugstores. And we had to literally battle our way into the neighborhood like we were on some kind of a mission to get what we want and battle our way back. I mean, I lost count of the number of fights I had that were racially inspired. I lost count. I don't know how many there were. So, I mean, no one has to tell me about racism. I've had its brutal fists imprinted on my body.
First of all, what's your name?
I'm Sarge.
Sarge, okay. All right, first of all, let me ask you something. Why do you keep saying Sarge over and over and over? You said it like six times already. No one needs to tell you. If you experience racism and the kind of pain you experience, definitely people need to be talking about it. A lot. If you went through everything you went through, and we have, and you're trying to tell me that, our society was just that kooky, and there are lots of Sarges out there that are still going through things. What makes you think that? I call racism, I think racism is one of the biggest unchallenged giants in America that's destroying us socially. How can you say nobody can tell you? We all need to be talking about it.
Sir, I'm going to tell you now, I simply do not agree with your analysis. I don't agree. Now, I'll explain to you why. I don't think in 2011 the biggest, not even one of the biggest problems we face as black people in the state, the perilous state we are in, is due to today racism. I do not believe that is the primary cause, and I'll explain to you exactly why not. I simply do not agree, sir. I don't. Now, I'm prepared to explain to you why not, and I'm prepared in a logical manner as to why that is so. Now, I would have agreed with you 40 years ago, 30 years ago perhaps, not today. I will not agree with it. No, sir. I think more than racism, and it still exists. And I believe, by the way, it will always exist as long as human beings exist. I don't believe you can eradicate at least the thoughts that lead to the institution of racism, because human beings are flawed and corrupt. They often have evil thoughts and do evil things. You will never eradicate murder. You will never eradicate rape. You will never eradicate robbery and theft. It's part of human nature, just like the good things we do. The bad things we do are part of the fallen nature of mankind. And that goes for everybody, black and white. We all are subject to that, to include the evils of judging another human being by the color of their skin. All of us are susceptible to it in varying degrees and at varying times. There is no one that's probably immune to the impulse. But I'm saying the state that black people are in today, I believe, is primarily due to the influence of leftists, liberalism, and the Democratic Party. I'm prepared to verify that and explain to you why that is so. It's a simple matter of fact in history that could be verified as such. Because every single party platform of the Democratic Party through the Civil War, every single one espoused support for slavery. After the Civil War, the Democratic Party instituted the Black Codes, Jim Crow laws. Every single Southern state, every single Democratic-run state voted against the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the United States Constitution. Every piece of foundational civil rights legislation from 1866 through 1972. It was the Democratic Party that instituted the welfare state, LBJ's Great Society, that literally destroyed the two-parent black family, which was the single biggest cultural calamity to ever befall the black community outside of slavery itself, and Jim Crow perhaps. The Democratic Party was primarily responsible for that happening, because the black community had always been together at a roughly 80% rate, where two children were raised in two-parent homes throughout our history of this country. During slavery, it was higher than it is now. During slavery. And after the Civil War, it shot up to about 80 or so percent, where it remained consistently so until the institution of the Great Society. I could go on and on with what liberalism, leftism, and cultural Marxism have done to our community. The cultural degradation that has happened. I could go on and on, but I suppose you probably won't give me the time to do that. I am saying to you, sir, I believe that the things we are complaining about today in 2011 are not primarily due to racism. They are due to innumerable other factors, which may be the culmination of that Marxist usurper sitting in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama.
Let me say one thing to you. If you listen to any of your shows, and I know there's a lot of shows out there, you don't have to just listen to mine, but Sarge, I can tell you one thing, my brother. I never believe, even though I believe that racism is a giant, it is not a normal everyday. It is a giant. It is something that exists that nobody want to talk about. Anytime you find people not want to talk, you're not going to have much progress. So it is a giant. Now, having said that, if you've listened to this show on Thursdays, we talk about the spiritual realm, and we talk about how everything that exists on this planet has spiritual roots. And we talk about powers that be, and we talk about secrets. If I can just keep the secrets from the master, we can control the world. We talk about the Illuminati. We talk about Masonry. We talk about the Federal Reserve. We talk about just the World Bank and the heavy hitters in our world, the people that really pull the strings behind the scene. However, one of the isms they use, or shall we say Satan uses, because he's controlling these people. This is an old fight, an old conquest.
that's just so ancient it's not funny. We are just in and out. Our lives are like a fresh air. It comes and goes. We are so temporary. But this fight is an ancient old fight, and it manifests itself on different fronts. Of course, racism is not the number one. It's all just about skin color, because white people as a nation isn't that old. I mean, if you keep going back in history, far back, Europe as we know it today didn't even exist. So it can't be about skin color. I understand that. You got to understand that I understand that. But that doesn't mean that it's not a giant. It doesn't mean that when we look at the education arena that we don't see this giant looming his head. It doesn't mean that when you look at the judicial system that you don't see racism. It doesn't mean that when you look at history, it has not been whitewashed. It doesn't mean when you look at health and Medicare that we are not definitely, there is a disparity there along racial line. It doesn't mean that when you look at science and technology that you don't see racism looming its head and technology used against the African American. It doesn't mean when you look at housing and zoning that there's not that disparity there. It doesn't mean when you look at our planet environmentally, we are suffering environmentally. Just looking at the environment and what happens and where we live and lead poisoning and all the living conditions we live under versus our white counterparts, so-called white counterparts. It doesn't mean when you look at laws and rules and bylaws, how they're shaped and formed and implemented, that the African-American and the so-called Caucasian, there's not that disparity again. It doesn't mean when you look at the prison system, we are disproportionately in these prisons, and it's not race-related. Of course it's race-related. A lot of these cops pull over. All you got to do is just go to any prison and just take a mic with you and recorder and just ask these brothers to tell your story and tell them that racism is not a giant, a stronghold, something real, something that is just dominating their life in a lot of ways. Yeah, there's other things dominating their life. The U.S. dollar and what's going on the monetary system. I mean, there's a lot of big problems compared. I mean, I'm talking too fast here. What I'm trying to say is, sir, we are so overwhelmed with biased, racist practices by our white brothers and sisters. It ain't funny. Yeah, we can go on Sarge, and you've done very well presenting your facts out there. I hear you. You're right. There are some other giants. Absolutely. Yes. But you don't let one giant escape because you're chasing 15 others. We got a lot to deal with as a people. You follow what I'm saying, my brother? I mean, I can go on and on and on, talk about the military and talk about just images. If you was deaf and you couldn't hear nothing, and you just walked around and you couldn't hear a thing, and you just look at images. The images preach racism. Just the images. Just advertisement. If you walk into a Kroger or a Walmart, just step back and look at the magazine section. Don't read anything. You can't read or you can't hear. Just look at the magazines. Look at the images. You know, there's a lot of things going on around us, and I'm going to let you jump in, but there's a lot of things. The definition of beauty standard, that's changing a little bit, but I think you're right. I think where you was going with this is economics. Like somebody once told me, you want to understand racism, understand the way economics work. You think you see economics in the prison system. You think you see problems with our education. I mean, with our socially. But look at economics. That's where you see the true slavery of the so-called African-American. Yes, white people are enslaved too, and there's a bigger, there's a giant there as well. But all I'm saying is, sir, I can preach on this for a year, and everybody would say it ain't enough. It ain't enough. Racism,
well, sir,
as we know it, I think one more thing. Racism as we know it will exist. You're right. But the Most High never told us, well, it's going to exist, so just sit down somewhere. We've got to be shouting from the rooftop that there is no such thing as a white skin, no such thing as black skin. We got to beat this thing until it's no longer, until it doesn't dominate like it does. Like it always exists, like you said. But how can there? I think other things will probably pop up. But I think after all the world knows that white skin comes from black skin, it'll be hard to push over stuff like the bell curve. It'll be hard to let a lot of our white brothers and sisters that are doing a lot of this foolishness do what they're doing. Our young people won't be running with low self-esteem if they knew the truth about this, about melanin and the origin of black skin and white skin and being made from the dust of the earth and just the properties that's in melanin, how it's in the atmosphere. If they really understood just that concept of melanin, our white brothers and black brothers, that racism would take such a beating, it would become foolish to be running around here saying you're superior. That's all I'm saying.
Well, sir, racial characteristics, and a scientist or geneticist literally wouldn't have to look at you to be able to see your racial makeup. All you have to do is put your tissue samples under a microscope. You can see the genetic markers that indicate your racial ancestry, Caucasoid, Negroid, Asian, a Mongoloid, rather, which is the anthropological classification. I'm saying they can be scientifically seen under the microscope, and a geneticist can look at your race without even having to look at you. He can accurately say what racial markings are in your DNA.
You just promoted.
It's not as though it's an entirely made up concept. What I'm saying to you is that your racial background, whatever it is, has no bearing upon your worth as an individual human being or your merit, other than your innate intelligence, which of course varies widely from person to person, your innate intelligence, your abilities, your talents, your luck, and your industriousness. So, we can't pretend that race is a non-existent. On the other hand, say it matters when we have to account for, say, quote, disparate impact, unquote. See, I'm not hung up on equality. In fact, I would say to you, sir, this is going to get me mad. I know a lot of people out there in the chat room are going to be really mad when I say this, but I believe this to my heart and soul and to a moral certainty. A just society demands inequality of result. Demands it. Because we don't all have the same intelligence, skills, industriousness, abilities, innate drive, and luck, for that matter. So the fact that Michael Jordan made infinitely more money playing basketball than I am, I'm struggling. Believe me, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. The fact that he made more money than I did economically is no measure of unfairness. There was a market out there that enabled him to be paid in plentitude for his particular skills, because not many people have the kind of ball handling skills that he has. There aren't many people that can do what he can do. So therefore, he could command a premium in the marketplace, and he did. So this obsession with equality is disturbing. It is Marxist. Marxism is one of the greatest evils, and its various forms has killed more human beings than any other single cause, including religion, including wars of conquest. Nobody has murdered as many people in such a short time as Marxists and communists. It is an evil philosophy of a singular evil. And I'm disturbed that so many people in my country today are espousing various forms of Marxism. Marxism killed 125 million people in the 20th century. Look up the Black Book of Communism. I'm not talking about in wars, kill the results of wars. It's about deliberate policies of communists and Marxists. I'm talking about induced famines by communists, particularly in the Soviet Union, China, Cambodia, in some places in Africa and South America. I'm talking about that sort of thing. 125 million people in the 21st century. It's one of the most profoundly evil philosophies ever. And we've got all kinds of people espousing some degree or other of Marxism. You've got to redistribute wealth. There's too much income inequality. You see, this is dangerous. I believe in liberty, sir. Liberty, which is not freedom or rights. It's freedom from a freedom or the relief from arbitrary and capricious government control in order to live in a civil and ordered society. That's liberty. I want liberty more than I want rights or freedom even. Liberty. Tell the government to get off my back. Stop taxing me to death. Stop telling me what kind of toilet I got to have, how many gallons I got to have to flush, what kind of light bulb I can buy. You know, that's what I'm more concerned. I'm more concerned about that now than ever. Because I've never seen such a hell for bent leather trend toward Marxism, communism, socialism. Now they're telling me I got to buy a health care plan. They're telling me I've got to, at the risk of fines and possible imprisonment. I have to. I don't have a choice. It's unbelievable what's going on in my country. No, I don't want that. I really don't. In interest of trying to remedy some past redress of grievances, I don't think it's worth it. I think we're going to be worse off under that sort of a regime than we are now with the racism and the bigotry. You can escape that to some extent. It's really hard to escape the government. It's not everywhere you go in the United States where every white person is evil and out to keep you down. I moved from Chicago, Illinois, the greatest Soviet of Illinois in Chicago, where this idiot, political idiots in that state are running businesses out right and left. The unemployment's going through the roof. The state is in a horrible state. I came down to the cradle of the Confederacy, Georgia. And I'm going to tell you something about Georgia that me and my wife are constantly talking about it all the time. Everywhere we go, we see interracial romantic couples, black and white, like we never saw in Chicago. We lived in Chicago all our lives, except for my time in the armed forces, my time in Vietnam as a combat veteran, my time I spent overseas in the Army. I spent pretty much all my life in Chicago. I never saw as many interracially romantic couples, clearly holding hands, hugging each other, as I do in Georgia. I've never been treated with such courtesy by white people, ordinary white clerks. You know, you take your car in to be fixed by a mechanic. Or you know, courtesy is just overwhelming here. White people.
Let me jump in here for a second. I want to ask you a quick question because I let you talk there for a minute because I was actually enjoying it and getting a little bit of information, actually. But I want to ask you a question. If it's, you don't want to answer, you don't have to. You don't have to. Is your wife white?
No, she's a black woman. I've married for 32 years. She has very Negroid features. She is a black woman. I love her dearly.
Okay.
I think she's beautiful. And, you know, I've always loved black women. I've had
Don't get me wrong, but I love black women. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Now, let me just jump in real quick. What I'm hearing, I think, is someone that you obviously is going through some you eyes open up. You mentioned Marxism several times, you know, Karl Marx would giving him a few plugs there. But, you know, I think this is what you got to acknowledge. We live in any government, any type of government, it's not going to be what the scriptures, I believe, is not going to supersede the kingdom that's coming. I don't even know how you feel about all that, but let me just get this out. When I look at the Bible and I see principles like where it says, let not no man seek his wealth, but let him seek the wealth of another. So if everybody did that concept right there, that one concept, it say labor not to be rich, but let every man seek. Labor not to be rich. Let no man seek his own wealth, but let every man seek the wealth of another. That means if I come into your shop, you're going to make sure that you enrich me with your product. You're going to make sure I get the best product. You're going to try to make me wealthy through service. That's what all the scripture is saying. Now watch this. If everybody does that, nobody would be poor. The Bible says that the greatest love is for a stranger to give it to, is for a person to give his life for a stranger. That's how much we're supposed to be having each other's back. The Bible constantly talks, put down materialism, and lifts up intangible values such as love, patience, faith. When we seek the intangible, there is no crime. If we can do that, if the big gigantic if we can do that, there is no crime. All of a sudden, the planet knows peace if we can do that. We've seen it. We've seen it done on various fronts. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. was just one person that mentioned one principle, but there's lots of principles. Gandhi was another, and there's lots of people that come to this planet that introduced these principles from the Bible, and they was able to bring a peace. Now, watch where I'm going with this. Marxism, capitalism, and all these isms, different forms of government, have their good points. They have this good point. Karl Marx would not be an icon if
he was just talking foolishness. There is something to say about Marxism. There's something to say about capitalism. There is even something to say about having a dictatorship. Do you know that the kingdom of the Most High or the Bible is really the closest to a dictatorship than anything else? You got one person making all the rules with all the wisdom, and he says, follow me. He says, I'll put before you life and then choose life. He says, I know what's best for you, children. Follow your father. That's more like a dictatorship than Marxism or capitalism. But yet, that is a superior form of
government. That is a rejection of the constitutional principles of the United States, no matter how imperfectly
well,
realized.
Well,
hold on.
I'll let you talk for a minute. Let me get this out. That Constitution is a baby, is a little infant compared to what I'm talking about. I'm talking about ancient wisdom that have kept this planet without people just exploding, killing each other. I know we have murders and all that, but it would really be bad if we start throwing out the biblical principles of the Bible. We really would have problems if we all just said to hell with each other and we're just going to pursue our own selfishness. Oh, my goodness. Capitalism, this moron that created capitalism, I can't think of his name, but I'm just saying it is the most divisive thing on the planet.
Actually, the free market is a spontaneous entity. No one created it. It came about because people wanted to barter goods and services, and eventually they came up with currency as a common speech. It wasn't really invented by any single person. It conforms to certain rules, and when you ignore those rules, it goes to hell in a handbasket. When you try to impose a centrally directed, dare I say, Keynesian type economy. But look, I understand what you're saying about. Look, I don't pretend to be a biblical scholar. I'm not even going to pretend it. But I do have a nodding familiarity with Jesus. And Jesus never said in all of his preachings about the poor and how to remedy the plight of the poor, never did he imply that a centurion was to go out at the point of a gladius and force redistribution of wealth. Never did he attempt to say that. He said it was a voluntary
thing.
On their own, work as part of their attempt to obtain grace and to obtain an understanding of their obligation to their fellow man, where they would voluntarily help their fellow man. Never, not in any of his sermons, ever, do you see any call or exhortation to any government to fix the problems and redress them. Ever. Once will you see it. Never. And this is the point I'm trying to make here, because now people try to have the nerve to try to tell us that Jesus Christ was a bearded, sandaled Marxist who really wanted wealth to be redistributed, and he wanted the government to get out in front to do it. Now, I know that's not true.
Sorry.
I don't think I said that.
Hold on, Sarge, because I'm enjoying you. I want us to go back and forth. Sarge, I'm not saying that. I said that all these forms of government, Marxism, all these different forms of government, because I want to get more off into this whole argument of the foreigners and all that. I want to move on a little bit here, but let me just entertain some of you saying, which I think is very good. First of all, Christ introduced the kingdom of Yah, or the kingdom of Yahweh. Listen to me, please. This kingdom principle supersedes any and everything you've just said. You've actually gave it credence. What you're looking for, you keep saying liberty, freedom. This is what the kingdom of the Most High. Of course our government, Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, give him the same respect I give everybody else. If you put in the White House, my brother, and you've given these problems that we have, all these the different gay marriages and all the boatloads of things we go through as people wanting rights for this and rights for that, and you see the whole economic arena with the Federal Reserve with all the cards stacked in their favor of the high joker, so to speak. When you see the secret society, all these powerful people that you are scared to even mention their name, as Clinton, you know, spoke about, and JFK talked about this elite group of people that is no joke. Both the presidents talked about this. You all of a sudden is a black family from Chicago in the White House. It's easy for us on the outside to say do this, do that, you know, but what do you do when you inherit a government, a debt that's in the trillions.
Yeah,
what do you
do? $14 trillion.
Hold on. Let me get my point out. It's easy for us to sit up here without being under that kind of pressure.
pressure from the black pressure from black people saying you ain't black enough, pressure from white people, you know, saying what they say. I'm just saying this president and this even Congress, it's hard, man, what they do. And I think they are almost forced to produce inferior products. If they did produce the kind of things that the Most High is commanding us to do, they would be killed. Let's look at our brother. You might not call him a brother, but Gaddafi. You know, there's a lot of YouTube videos and a lot of things all over the internet surfacing. It's one thing I like about these social networks. They do get truth out. And there's a lot of different government officials, Ron Paul, Cynthia McKinney, a lot of them are saying that man was not killed because of anything other than what he was about to do when he introduced this new currency that was going to cause the dollar some problems. Now, if that man who was, I don't know if you know it or not, but Gaddafi was getting ready to introduce a whole new monetary system. I think it's called the Golden Dinar, if I'm going to pronounce it right. But it was backed by gold. He has, I think, roughly, some people say 150 tons of gold. And Africa is full of gold. And he was going to make this the new way to of commerce. And this is what's going to threaten our whole way of life, whole the monetary system, as we know it, the global monetary system, would have taken, it would have been an earthquake. So they said, we can't have that. He had a conference in, I think, 96 and a conference in 2000 where he discussed it. This was serious things that was going to happen that was going to really pull up the continent of Africa. Everybody knew that. Everybody in the monetary world, the financial world, World Bank, I'm talking about these you know, Federal Reserve, these kinds of people knew what this could mean. All right, they had the man killed. So when people, we can sit on blogs like this and talk about what they need to do and but when you start trying to implement some of the ideas you were just saying, sir, you wouldn't last a week in the White House. So I think this man is trying to live. He want to come outside of that White House with his members, you know, with his life. And you have to give and take.
Well, then he's a coward. He doesn't need to have the
hold
job.
Hold on. I know I'm talking
about,
but let's get this out. Hold on a second, my brother. You're dancing with the devil. And it's easy for us to say, well, he should do this. He, you know. But all I'm saying is we just really got to understand what we're dealing with, powerful people that have held on to power for a long time, and you go in there trying to tell this banking cartel, do this, do that. Do you understand what I'm saying, Brother Solid?
No, sir. See, no, sir. I understand that what you're speaking of. What you're speaking of is the desire to entertain and to suppose a crony capitalism, which is another form of fascism. That's not free markets. Crony capitalism like Solyndra and Light Squared, which Obama's in bed with, giving him $500 million of government money to start up a business, and all the other businesses like taking over Chrysler and GM. This is crony capitalism. It's fascism, sir. Fascism. That is not what the Constitution
it may
of the United
be.
States
listen,
is supposed to.
It
and
may
wait
be.
A minute. Let me finish. This is important to understand. Barack Obama is constrained by that Constitution. Now, I know you just a moment ago you spoke of the fact that there is a higher entity than man's temporal laws and man's temporal constitutions. I understand that. I'm a Christian. I understand that. But you know, Jesus Christ said it quite well. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. And while we're living on this temporal plane, it is man who institutes governments. The government was instituted by this man. The foundation of it is the United States Constitution. Barack Obama took an oath on the Bible, which he professed to be a Christian, of course, but I don't believe it, but he says he is. Now, he took an oath on the Bible in which he swore to uphold that document. He's done almost everything that is contrary to the spirit, the very text of that Constitution. He's just determined to ignore it. He's going to do what he wants to, because like you said,
let me ask you a couple questions.
He wants to dictate to us what we should do. He wants to bypass Congress. He had that idiot congressman from Illinois, Jesse Jackson Jr., telling him, Congress is in rebellion, and you, since Congress is in rebellion, you, Lord High Protector Oliver Cromwell, Barack Hussein Obama, you need to take it upon yourself to put Congress in check and run the country by executive order. Sir, that is a recipe for dictatorship. That is the kind of thing that leads to tyranny, And I say to you, we and the American people need to reject it, yes, in our temporal kingdom here on earth, because that man has no authority to do the very things that he is doing.
Okay,
and
let me ask you
and
couple,
others who believe in liberty
will
talk.
Hold on a second. As much as I'm enjoying you, I really wish it was just you. We got a phone line with other people, and somebody wanted to ask a question. Area code 708-903. I'm going to keep you on, Sarge, as long as you know that this brother is going to have the right to speak. And then let me see. This might not be a good idea, because this brother, if it's who I think it is, I'm familiar with this phone number. He may be as windy as you are. So let's see how this goes. Anyway, area code 708-903. Go ahead, you on the air.
Shalom. Bless
shalom, my brother.
Praise,
how you doing?
Praise the Most High Power, the Great I Am, Mahaya.
Yes.
First comment. I kind of agree with the brother that you got online right now. I'm probably more strong against our country's leader, I'll say. Because first of all, like you both have said, he's so-called a Christian. So-called Christians want to enact laws where homosexuality is legal or marriage of homosexuals are legal. First of all, because the Bible says marriage between man and woman. That's from Genesis to Revelation. So also it says, long story short, the man is wicked. However you want to put it, I don't got time to go into all his crimes or his whatever. The man ain't got nothing for the people, either black or white. He against the country, even though he run the country. You'll figure it out too soon, and it ain't going to be too later. People like like everybody else, I voted for the man in 08. But since 08, I learned the truth about him, a whole bunch of truth. What's up?
Brother Garvey, I got both you and Brother Sarge on the line, and I probably shouldn't have cut you off for sure because I know you're long-winded, but I just got to ask y'all this question. I'm sorry. I ain't trying to dominate here and be a dictator or nothing. I got a question I would love to hear both of y'all ask, and I want y'all to make it as concise as possible, starting with you first, Brother Gabriel. Honest. I mean, I know it's hard to – I'm going to ask you the question, what would you do? I'm going to name something, and I want to know what would you do. And I'm going to name something else, and I want you to tell me what would you do, all right? Okay. Where it relates to the Federal Reserve, Brother Gabriel, what would you do?
First of all, if you follow the Constitution, the Bible, or the whole – you follow the Constitution or the Bible, the Constitution, the Federal Reserve should be disbanded this very moment. So,
okay,
if I'm a leader of the country and I'm following the Constitution, because that's what the leader of the country supposed to follow, the laws of the land. So the laws of the land, the Federal Reserve is illegal. First of all, it's not federal, or it does not have a reserve. So if it has no reserve, it's not federal, and it's basically a what they call it in the Bible, a usury organization. So they against the Most High Law.
I got you.
I against the Most High Law.
Hold on. In a nutshell, and again, because I'm going to ask you some more questions. I want to ask Brother Sarge the same question. Now, let me ask Brother Sarge the same question. And then I'm going to comment on y'all's answers. And then when I ask another question, I'm going to comment on y'all's answers. This is what I want to know, because President Barack Obama, I mean, I feel y'all, I do believe that the one world government, the new world order, the people that's in really control have ordained him. I do believe that, but I just feel like, anyway, let me hold my comment to after Brother Sarge make his comment. Federal Reserve, what would you do with Brother Sarge?
Okay, the Federal Reserve, just for those folks who may not exactly be familiar with what it is, it's a private for-profit corporation. It acts as a central banking system in the U.S. Now, it didn't exist before 1913 when the Federal Reserve Act created it, and it was created largely in response to a series of financial panics, particularly one, a very severe financial panic in 1907. Now, over the time, it's been expanded, and its structure has been changing. But, you know, it sets the nation's monetary policy. It's supposed to regulate banking institutions. It's supposed to maintain the stability of the financial system and provide financial services to banks, you know, like deposit institutions, the U.S. government, foreign official institutions. That's what the thing is there for. There is no constitutional authority for it. Good idea, bad idea, no constitutional authority. I suggest rather than just passing a congressional act, if we wanted to have a Federal Reserve System, they should have done it by amendment. That's the way you do it under our Constitution. Such a major change in this country should have been done by amendment. Now, but since we have it, since it exists, since it relies on, and since we probably can't do without it without completely collapsing the economic system, we have to wean the country off it. But there's no doubt, as your other caller just said, it's unconstitutional. There is no constitutional authority for it. If Congress wishes to set it up and needs to propose an amendment,
I appreciate that. So you said wean it off. Brother Gabriel say shut it down. All right. Now, do you have any idea what happened to the last person that tried to do what you just said?
Well, I don't. I don't know. Well, what did happen to the last person to try to do something? You mean someone, John Kennedy?
Absolutely. But even before John Kennedy,
I'm not sure he was actually going to try to end the Federal Reserve.
Abraham Lincoln.
He might have been asking for some regulatory.
No,
some regulatory,
it wasn't Lincoln.
Policy.
It was with the president. Federal Reserve, I think, I'm a little rusty, but I had a whole show I was going to do on this. And the Federal, right after it was introduced, they was crying, you know, shut this thing down. There have been so many people erased from the planet on because they tried to do what you're doing. This is what I'm trying to say, and I want to ask some other questions. I don't want to speak too long on the Federal Reserve. I got some other questions I want to answer real quick. Again, with this is a racial matter. We really need to be more, this show is more designed towards race, not racial matter. People are clicking in to hear that, but I think they're enjoying this as well. So we hit this a little longer, then I want to move on with the show if y'all don't mind. Now, I don't think y'all being fair. I think y'all are just standing by and just saying, just do it. I don't want to hear none. You the president, just do it. I don't think y'all really understand being in that kind of position. I don't think y'all understand Dancing with the Devil. I don't think you understand. There was a movie that was a comedy, but it made a heck of a point about what I'm trying to say. It's called The Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy. And at one point in the movie, Eddie Murphy was trying to be courted by, it was on the power lines. Some people say it was causing cancer, and some people was needing the power lines. The power line companies was courting Eddie, and the ones that said it's causing cancer was courting. He was getting money from both sides. And he said this, and it was the pivotal point in the movie, he said, with all of this money flowing on both sides, it's a wonder anything get done. And they said, that's it, nothing get done. And that's kind of what I'm saying. You can't bust off in the White House and say, I'm going to shut down the Federal Reserve. You can't do that.
But, sir, I'm not demanding Barack Obama shut down the Federal Reserve. That's not one of my requirements of him. It is a concern. It does have to be dealt with. There needs to be more regulation on the Federal Reserve.
Oh, don't back up. You said wean off.
You posed me a specific question about the Federal Reserve. But frankly, the Federal Reserve, as far as Barack Obama is concerned, is not even anywhere near my top list of priorities with him. My beefs with him stem more from the fact that I believe he's fundamentally a usurper. He's not constitutionally qualified to be there. He has presented forged documents to us to cover up the fact that he's utterly illegitimate and has no right to even be inhabiting the office. And this is my big thing. Everything about him, his belief system is alien to this country's founding traditions. The man got up there and told us he believes one of the primary problems with the Constitution is that, and I'm quoting him, a charter of negative liberties. It says what the government is not supposed to do to you rather than what the government is supposed to do for you. And in that respect, by the way, he was absolutely correct. But for him, that's a problem. For him, it's not a government of enumerated powers, restrictions upon its development, which, by the way, was what made this country's founding unique. The fact that it set out from the outset to limit its authority to certain spheres.
Okay,
unheard
all right.
of in the history
I
of the world.
You,
but Barack Obama wants to expand it, so it is a totalitarian government. It is total. It gets into every aspect of your life and regulates it.
Brother Sarge, I think you are talking about Superman. I really don't think that black couple, that black man, that black senator from Chicago got all those aspirations. He don't have the power to make the United States a totalitarian government.
Hold on,
but I want to move on. Hold on. Let's just take a breather, because I want to ask you another question. I want you to just calm down a little bit if you can so you can hear me. Now, we have Occupation Wall Street, Occupation, they're all over the world now. And they have a great beef, a very legitimate beef with 1% of the United States dominating or owning most of the wealth in the United States. And this trend is also in Europe and ain't just in the United States. So I want to ask y'all a question. What would you do, because the rich is getting richer, the poor is getting poorer, the middle class is disappearing, and there is concern about where we're headed with this in a nutshell, in like 2 minutes. I mean, I want y'all to wrap this up because I got to turn this back around to racism, because a lot of white people, white brothers and sisters, feel like these comments I've made earlier in the program description, they want to hear about that. So, but this is good too. This is good as well. This is more about Thursday night conversation. But anyway, what would you do, Brother Gavia, to lessen that gap?
Well, honestly, to lessen the gap between the rich and the poor, first of all, self-father was a word. The word says if you don't have charity, you are nothing. So if a man have more, those, and it also says those that give him more, they're more expected of them. So if they got more, it's to give more or provide more opportunities.
Brother Gavia, you're gonna piss this brother. This brother about to have a bomb when he gets the mic, because he definitely don't agree with that. But go ahead.
I mean, I'm not saying they got to share or share their wealth. I'm not saying this is like charity. Charity is choice. You know, you're not forced to do anything. But I'm saying a wise man would know if his friends and people around them are having less, by the nature of them hungry or needing clothing, they're going to have to get it. Other than that.
Okay, so hold
they
that thought right there. Hold on that right there. You
steal and kill for it.
You
don't want less than a kill. You must help those that have less. Other than that, you should expect somebody to come at you next.
Okay, hold that thought. I just want, just out of curiosity, we're going to do this real quick, then we're going to move on, okay? My goal is to be moving on by 4 minutes, we'll be done with this. But I got to hear Brother Sarge's response to what you just said.
The 10th commandment, you've been acquainting us, of course, with many spiritual reference today. The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. There's a reason for that. You're not supposed to be envious because someone else has something you don't have and you want and you think you're entitled to. That's not what, and particularly that's not what our government. Our government is not supposed to remedy inequality. That's not why it exists. It's supposed to take your basic inalienable rights as laid out in the Declaration, essentially, your basic human rights, and the system of federalism, the system of separation of powers, the basic amendments to the Constitution that have been added since then. They're supposed to promote interstate commerce. All of this will lead to expanded business opportunities, which in turn will lead to more people getting employment, which will in turn lead to more people seeking the level they can seek in order to better their lives and enhance their economic opportunities.
You know what?
It's important for me to explain this so, I mean, you don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say here. I'm simply saying that the government is not supposed to ensure equal outcomes. It's supposed
to
ensure no one.
You keep riding that horse.
No
one's
doing anything criminal.
Hold on, you keep riding. Brother Sarge.
Crony capitalism.
We got that.
It's not.
But
what
I need
the
you to answer. Hold on, Brother Sarge. I got that. We got that. You said it. You said it a lot. I want you to say something different because we got that. We understand the government intrusion into our lives.
We have regulation
and
everything.
What I'm asking you is, the 1%. How did it happen? How do you think the 1% end up owning America?
If you, because you sound so pro the founding fathers and capitalism and freedom, but that's have that's
free markets.
Free markets.
Adam Smith, The Invisible Hand, Spontaneous Order. Read Adam Smith. He explains it better than anyone ever has. And that's not what we have today with all this corporatism, crony capitalism, and, in fact, American fascism. Now, the 1% is many of them there are many, not all. Many of them are there by dint of hard work, industriousness, luck, the fact that they came up with a product that everybody wanted to buy. That's why many of them are there. I mean, who needs what Steve Jobs had to give you? But people wanted it. Nobody put a gun to their head and made them buy the iPods and all this other stuff. People wanted it. That's how he got rich. That's how he got in the 1%. That's how many of them got. They provided a good and or service. People wanted. People parted with their money to get it. That's how most of them get. Some of the trust fund babies. Don't you have a right to leave your inheritance to whomever you wish without the government taking it all? Your children, for instance? Yes, you do.
Okay, now hold on a second.
This is the only question I ask. If they didn't do it illegally or through chicanery, I'm utterly unconcerned that they have it. I'm not concerned at all. I don't want the government to do anything to take it away from them other than what is a reasonable rate of taxation. And by the way, I'm opposed to income taxes, but since we pay them,
okay.
I don't want them to pay. They already pay most of the taxes anyway. Rich people
Brother
already
Sarge,
pay most
Brother
of the
Sarge.
Taxes anyway.
Brother Sarge, you, I don't know what how to even answer that. You kind of going off on something. Listen, my brother, I want to bring this in. Where I'm, let me just comment on both of y'all's questions, and we're going to have to wrap this up. And as much as I enjoyed you, I appreciate you, Brother Sarge and Brother Gabriel, dropping sounds like you always do, Brother Gabriel. Y'all brought some things to our attention. I'm sure that a lot of people didn't think. Brother Sarge, you brought up things about Marxism. I'm sure a lot of people didn't quite see that. What I like to do is give y'all one more comment, and I want to move on because I want to comment on what you're saying, but I don't. I just want to move on.
Well, sir, I had wanted really to deal mainly with race and the perceptions of racism today because I believe one of the most dishonest discussions that we have in the United States today, I mean utterly dishonest is discussions on race. I don't believe people want to tell us. They're governed by political correctness. They're governed by, frankly, Herman Cain, when he spoke of the black community's brainwashing, he was absolutely correct, absolutely correct. Let me tell you why. Because, you know, once upon a time, I was proud of my community for its tough-mindedness and its reasonable, sensible responses to the racism, discrimination, and lack of opportunity that was inflicted upon it by codified law. And we had a very sensible reaction to it that was tough-minded. And I said to myself, well, we may have it tough in this community in the black community, but, well, we're kind of together on that, and we kind of all understand it. And we put our heads down and bear – and get into the wind and bear with it. We're tough-minded. Boy, I really admire black folk. You know, for today I don't. I'm utterly ashamed of the lack of introspection as to why the black community has absolutely no willingness to examine anything other than a lack of reparative social justice for their present-day plight. It is actually the most disturbing thing, and white people are hobbled by political correctness. They're afraid to say anything because they're going to jump down their throat if you say something that just slightly offends a black person in the least almost. They're going to feel white guilt all over. Not all of them, but many of them. You know that's true. And we are going to be going along with this political cognitive dissonance, actively supporting a political party that you can prove with empirical evidence and objective, corroborative, factual data that has had the worst interest of the black community in heart of it, at its heart since its very inception. I don't have to argue. All
right.
I have to do is show to you the position papers. And yet still the black community says,
Brother
despite
Sarge,
this monomaniacal devotion to liberals and the Democratic Party, there can be no other explanation for our present-day plight other than the fact that this is that racism that lingers and then white folks just won't let go of. It's utterly dishonest.
Well,
we need to have a truly honest discussion about race and why the black community is in the situation it is now, and we're not having
Brother,
that now. We're having
Brother
politically
Sarge,
correct
Brother Sarge,
court,
Brother Sarge, Brother Sarge, Brother Sarge.
Diatribe.
Hello, Brother Sarge. I appreciate your comment, my brother.
Yes, sir.
I really appreciate you allowing me to speak.
I truly do. I appreciate you allowing me to speak. I realize I've ran and had a lot to say, but believe me, This is
You had a lot to say. You made a lot of sense, and I think that we'll probably have you on one day, maybe as a co-host with me. It's the only way you're not going to do very well, just comment and leave.
Hey, brother,
Hold on. I want to thank you for your comments, the knowledge. You've enlightened us on a lot of things. I appreciate that, my brother, okay?
All right, sir.
That was Brother Sarge. I want Brother Gabriel to wrap this up. And, y'all, what do you think of Brother Sarge? I mean, y'all in the chat room, I want to hear it. I mean, I actually welcome smart people to this show. I'm not intimidating whatsoever. I understand his angle. I do think government is way overboard. But I think when on this planet, you ain't going to be able to implement no kingdom of the Most High up in that White House unless you're going to plan on living for about a week. So when you're on a suicidal mission and you're ready to die, you're ready to die for the cause, then you run for president because you probably will be killed. And that's all there is to it. You're not talking about shutting down the Federal Reserve like Brother Gabriel, who's on the line still. If you start talking about shutting down the Federal Reserve, you start talking about picking on the 1%, you start trying to talk about evening up, because the reason the 1% owns everything is because capitalism don't work. I know what Sarge was saying, but I just do not believe in Milton Friedman and this whole capitalism concept. I don't believe in it whatsoever. Like they say, it's a free market, yeah, right. And the only people that's getting rich is Americans. I mean, they say it's free for anybody. Yeah, but there are secret sanctions going on against the African people. There's all kind of stuff going on to block and push out the continent of Africa. Otherwise, this free market would have a face other than the white people. So I don't believe in it. I think if they practice it the way they really say, maybe it would be something. But they don't practice capitalism like they say. There's a whole lot of sanctions. There's a whole lot of blackmailing. There's a whole lot of white dominance, white control. There's a whole lot of propaganda. I mean, just like I said, all I can say is one word, Gaddafi. If you really research what that man did and tried to do for the continent of Africa, he will make all these presidents combined look really shameful. Gaddafi did a lot for Africa. Africa has an organization very similar to the United Nations, and it was created by Gaddafi himself. This man have done so much and just so much for the land of Africa. I tell you one person, and y'all know when I mention his name, you may not agree with anything you say, but Farrakhan, if he put his stamps on you as somebody who supports black folks, that's a good stamp. I know I may not agree with everything he teaches, but he ain't going to be supporting somebody that's robbing our people. I don't think so. And he vehemently agrees that's like with Cynthia McKinney, Ron Paul, the whole lot of people out there that's saying that Gaddafi was not killed. He was killed for what he was about to do to the U.S. dollar. So anyway, Brother Gabriel, go ahead and make last words, and we're going to move on because a lot of people, I'm sure, want to finish talking about this whole racial matter. I keep getting people popping in and leaving, and I know what they're doing. They're looking for the conversation about race, and here we are talking about economics. But go ahead.
Well, since the topic is about racism, I'll say, first of all, since predominantly the show is the brethren of the Israelite tribe of Judah or the blacks in America, first of all, we got to stop hating one another. So if we stop hating one another and come together as one, because if we all separate, we're going to all fall on our face. Because if your feet not under you, or if one foot in this direction, another foot in that direction, you're destined to fall on your face. So if we put them one way and put them the other way, we can never gain where we're supposed to be. So we don't come together no matter what the other races do, because we worse than any other race against us. Because if we're against ourselves, we might as well be the ones with the hoods on our head or whatever. We might as well claim KKK because we're against ourselves. That's what I'm saying. Self-hate.
One thing I would say to you, Brother Gabriel, on that note, one thing I would say to you, and I really wish, I almost want to bring Sarge on just for this back, because I really want to tell him it's so strong. This brother, I really love that brother's spirit, so maybe I'll click him back in if I feel it. But I want to tell him this so bad. You know, the state of the black America, the reason they are hating each other, they call it the crawfish mentality, and the reason why we're not doing a lot of the things, okay, that I said in the description that
The first part of the description, the show description, was a white person talking. It was the mind of a lot of white people, their frustration. And the second half of that show's description is me talking. Okay? But a lot of reason why black people are not producing and foreigners are coming here and doing so much better than us is because I don't think people understand what happened to us. And I think people say, well, you want to keep talking about the past, and, you know, we need to forget about the past. You just can't say to a people, forget about the past, let's move forward. Yes, you move forward, but you got to, like the old saying says, if you don't understand the past, you darn near is going to repeat it. You can't take a people's identity away from them. Take their history completely away from them. Give them a history. Fill their minds up with something. You're going to take away and you're going to put back. I mean, you're going to take away and you're going to substitute. We've been substituted. Our identity has been taken away and we've been given another identity. The identity we have now is that we're good ball players, we're good athletics, we're good entertainers. Okay, and occasionally we produce a scholar here and there. On the other hand, white people are superior knowledge. They're just the smartest people on the planet. I mean, that can be argued, but I'm just saying this is how our education is introduced to us, for sure in the United States, are the smartest. And so we're constantly bombarded with these images that whites are superior. And you cannot have a people. Brother Sarge, I want you to hit your one on your phone to where you look like your hand is up. I don't think it is. And then when you do have your hand up, that way I can see it, because right now it looks like your hand is up. I think it's from the previous call. So press one on your phone. But anyway, I believe the reason why we behave the way we behave is because of white supremacy. I'm talking about in our minds, this inferior. I mean, just look at our youth. I mean, all you got to do is just look at our youth. Our youth is going to be a clear mirror of the adults. They are not from another planet. They are our children. Look at them. Look at what they ascribe to be. Look at what's dominating their minds and their pastime. You get a good example of the parents that raised them. I know people say, well, I didn't raise them to that, but this is the culture we live in. So all I'm saying is I hear Sarge. I hear him. But I just feel like capitalism is evil. This is what I believe. I believe that the kingdom of the Most High, he mentioned a lot about Jesus, Brother Gabriel. He mentioned a lot about Jesus, and I probably should let you go too, in all fairness, but he did call first, so I admit, even I'll let you just hang for a little bit. But I'm just saying the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Yah, the kingdom of Yahweh, these principles are all that's worth talking about. I am not about to start quoting no constitution. It's too new, and it's flawed. And these white men that come over here, I don't believe in this, come over from religious persecution. They come over here persecuting people. How are they going to come up? It's just our whole foundation is fallacious. It is false. You know, I'm not about to buy into this white supremacist notion of these great white men that come over to try to get freedom from Europe, and then all they was doing to the religious persecution when they came straight over here and turned around and persecuted people in a religious manner. I'm just not. It's again white supremacy. It's the reason we're acting the way we're acting, and white act the way they act. There's no reason they feel superior to us with that type of teaching. That their forefathers was this, and then looking at who our forefathers were. This is why I noticed when you came on, Brother Gabriel, you greeted me with shalom. Why? Because you believe that the scriptures declares us to be Israel. Those that live out Deuteronomy 28, put in slave ships, you know, have a wife with another nation, come lie with her. Those of us that have lived out these curses is Israel. You're going more of a scripture basis. Some people may say, well, I disagree with him. Yeah, but how can you disagree with him intellectually and make some sense? We live out that book more than any other people do. Our lives is nothing more than Deuteronomy 28, when Israel is in rebellion. So that's why you greeted me with shalom. Well, that's foreign to a lot of these people listening right now. I know it is. Okay? So I'm saying when we replace our true identity, when we have a place that we can call home, when we have a song, a nation song, a nation flag,
And we have that pride that a lot of Africans have and a lot of Indians have from India and a lot of other people from different countries. When we are back mentally, physically, emotionally, economically, then come back and tell me about black folks. But right now, we are, as Farrakhan said, and so brilliantly, he said, God made black men, or he made us, and white folks made niggas. Not good white people that we know and love and respect every day, but he's talking about the powers that be by robbing this identity and constantly putting before us this little February joke of accomplishments every February, black history, when indeed the whole history of the planet is about the dust-colored people. I mean, I'm just saying, Brother Gabriel, if you feel me on this, we have been, I don't even know the word, Malcolm say bamboozled, I say we've been exploited. And when you see an exploited people that's constantly being just raped in every aspect of life, how can you put demands like some of the things that that we say about our people? So, Brother Gabriel, let me just go ahead and let you have last word. I'm going to wrap this up. We may go. Well, actually, you can just hang there with me. I am epic. You have to go. Thank you for stopping by. It's a precious lady right there. But anyway, all I'm saying is I hear Brother Sarge, you know, I understand government intrusion to big government. Yes, I'm against it, just like the Republicans say, but Republicans are a joke, okay? They are a joke. They are a part of this 1%. They are for it. They promote it. You know, they can say what they want to say, but at the end of the day, even Democrats, they're part of the 1% too. Clinton, a lot of these people, I don't knock rich people for being rich, but I do knock a system that constantly reward rich. You know, I work at the airport. I don't mind telling folks that. And on a small scale, when I come in contact with business passengers in first class, all the things that they get, and they're not even, I mean, yes, they're the ones that pay for the bulk of the fare, you know, and so forth. But it is just amazing, the systems, not just at the airports, but in every aspect of life, Brother Gabriel, where we just cater to these people. And it's so wrong. You know, like classic example, when I used to work, I used to, you know, get fares for the different million milers of people that travel a lot. And you there, Brother Gabriel? I know you have, you're not saying much, but you with me? Brother Gabriel,
yeah, hello.
Yeah, but we used to quote fares, and there was a system where we could not tell a person that says, "I don't have no money. Ooh, that fare is too high." We could not say to you, "Well, there is a lower fare, ma'am. If you just give more advance notice, stay over Saturday night." We could not tell you that. But guess who knew it? The folks that could pay, that could buy a first class ticket, the people with the most well-to-do folks, they knew is to say, is there a cheaper fare? Then you could say, yes, there is, if you do this, if you do that. But that's just one little tiny example. I mean, I can go, my mind is kind of scattered right now, but I'm just saying there are so many things, and that's what spawned this Occupy Wall Street, Occupy New York, Occupy Los Angeles, these people all around the planet that's screaming for justice, because we are tired of this wealthy, elite group of people ruling under this crazy system called capitalism. And they make like it's so free. If it was as free as they say, then we would love it. But we don't love it because it's not as free as they say. Otherwise, they say, well, anybody can be a part of it. Anybody. I mean, look at Wall Street. Look at Brother Gabriel. Look at how Wall Street, just the whole wealth from thin air. And it's all a good old boy system. I mean, yes, you got the Japanese on it and, you know, other people, but I'm saying the vast majority of the people playing in the Wall Street game is white males. There's something wrong whenever you see a whole bunch of white males and non-white males don't have a bigger piece of the pie. It's flawed. This is what I was trying to say to Brother Sarge, is it's flawed. I'm not for Marxism. I'm not for even a democracy. I don't really believe in a democracy. What if your people have moral issues and you go to vote? That's how we got all this gay marriage, this, and all these problems is because morally we are bankrupt, and when we go take a vote, they don't have this because it's a democracy. So a democracy is a joke if the people are unrighteous. So what kind of government is worth it? The only kind I mentioned, the only kind that I, you know, said earlier that we're working at would be when the Most High rules. So, yes, Brother Gabriel, I understand what you were saying. He needs to do this, he needs to do that. But y'all talking about the Most High. You can't, American president can't do all this stuff you're saying and live. They're not going to live long enough to even see it. Don't say, I mean, it's like suicide. They're not going to even get a, they're not going to even do it. I mean, it's just not possible. So I don't know what, I don't know, what do you do to the Most High come? What do you do to his kingdom is established? Do you not run for president? Do you not be in political offices? You know? So what I would say, Brother Garvey, I want you to comment on this. I know I'm, you know, long-winded here, but what I would say, if I could, I would say heavy security around the president. And I would say y'all are right. Let's do away with this Federal Reserve. Let's really look at the World Bank. I would just clean house. But I know when you do that, you're talking about a war. There will literally be wars. Our whole country, as we know it, would be in a state of war because propaganda would immediately start. They'll start trying to say all kind of things about me as the president, and then all of a sudden the people would rise up, you know, and it would just be, it would be divisive. It would be wars. Brother Garvey, are you aware that it would be wars if Obama tomorrow said we're going to eradicate the Federal Reserve? All of a sudden they'll start bringing up all kind of stuff about him, start saying different things, telling the people, this is what's going to happen when we have no Federal Reserve. Our money's going to fall. This man is trying to bankrupt America. He's trying to destroy our country. They're going to say all the lies. That's what they did to Gaddafi. You got a live example of what happened when you tamper with the American dollar. This man was threatened to come out with a new currency that was going to uplift Africa, and he's 6 feet under. They let his people destroy him. All they did was use propaganda. I'm just saying, I don't think y'all understand. Do you feel me, Brother Gabriel?
Well, I understand exactly where you're coming from, but since I've tried to be a true follower of the word, so me, myself, many of the prophets or people that told the truth, what happened to them? They died. But since I'm trying to put up treasures in heaven, I'm not worried, and I don't respect men. I respect the word of the Most High. So if it falls outside of the word of the Most High, and I know what the word say, to follow it and to live it. So if I'm walking in the spirit and living in the spirit, first of all, I couldn't be president. From my understanding, the president's got to do certain things. And the Hussein, B-H-O, you know, I don't even want to say his whole name, give him more power.
No, hold on, let me just for a second. I'm sorry. Let me cut y'all just for a second. I know we just, y'all got to bear with me. I mean, we're looking at the time and everything. But listen, even his name, y'all keep talking about he's not this, not his name. The man was a senator. If he was a senator, to me, you shouldn't be a senator if your name ain't right. So to me, after you've been a senator, it's too late. They should have stopped him at the senator door, so to speak. I mean, the fact that the man has already been a senator, you know, creating laws, it is too late to be talking about where's your birth, even if his name ain't right. So that's weak when I hear y'all say that. It is just weak. I mean, there are so many more fish to fry. There's so much bigger fish to fry. Try frying the World Bank. Try frying SAPs, structure adjustment programs, where they go to these third world countries and they hit them all in death. I'm sure y'all heard about the economic hitman. He was telling the truth. That is true. How they go into these so-called third world countries and get them all in debt and then start saying, well, look, we can help you out of debt if you can just change some programs, structure adjustment, call them SAPs. And they start changing different programs that really help those people. The United States own the World Health Organization, the World Bank. They own the UN, United Nations. These are girls working for a very powerful pimp. So I'm saying we are just exploiting imperialist mindset. You know, our boys going into to the service is nothing more than just, you know, while I respect them to the heel, I mean, I respect them so much in trying to make a difference in dying for our country or serving for our country, I should say. You know, and when it's all said and done, we are a bunch of thugs. We go around the world toppling regimes, gobbling up land, gobbling up oil for our energy deficient needs. And that's all there is to it, man. So when I hear y'all say, like you, well, you just said, well, I just speak for the Most High. You know, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but on a practical note, should you really be bashing the president? I think you probably should, you know, have your. But I think y'all a little too hard on somebody that is so powerless. This man is nothing. So what? It's just a figurehead. He don't have no power. He can't go in there and topple no Federal Reserve. He can't shut down masonry and masons and their influence in our government. He can't make that 1% that runs, that owns America, give up their wealth or be more, not that we would want to say give up your wealth, but he can't devise a system that is going to cause that 1% to be, to lessen the gap is what I'm trying to say. Lost for words here, but old President Obama do not have that kind of power. They don't. They actually, for real, he don't have it. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, my brother, but what y'all talking about is a movement. It has to be several presidents. It could take 20 years. It's going to be several legislation. It's going to be a lot of security. People are going to die. I mean, not that we want to fear death, but I'm just saying, in order to see the kind of things you was talking about, Brother Garvey and Brother, and what this Brother Sergeant was talking about, I don't even think y'all have it would divide this country. There would be no United States. There'd be so much murder and people getting taken. I mean, all you got to do is follow the trail. See how many people have died talking this kind of language. It's easy going to say the Most High this, the Most High that. But when you start trying to implement these things in the United States, when you face this giant of white supremacy, I just got to notice we got 90 seconds. So those of you in the chat room, in about 60 seconds, we're going to lose you. So if y'all want to keep listening to the show, we'll probably go over another 5 or 10 minutes. You're going to have to simply call the phone line there, that 280, you have to call the phone line there, the 760-283-083, and keep listening. We're going to go a little bit longer. We're going to lose you in about 6 or 7. But thank y'all for stopping by, and I want to encourage every single one of y'all to go to the front page of Five Smooth Stones and follow the show. Now, a lot of y'all guests, that means you can't do nothing until you join Blog Talk. You might as well join your listening every week because I see lots of you. But go in and join the Blog Talk and click follow. Follow the show and get reminders into your cell phone and email, please, okay? We have a website on that front page as well. Go to the website and y'all really will see something. You think we're talking about this now, go to that website, fivesmoothstone.webs.com. Again, that's on our front page. Just click on where you see Five Smooth Stone at the top right-hand corner of your page. Click on that, go to the front page, and go to that website and join it. And you're going to see some pictures of a lot of things we've been talking about. But anyway, call the line and we'll go ahead and finish. But anyway,
Brother Gabriel, all I'm saying is it's easy to come on this phone line and say what the Most High want, what the Most High don't want, and he's not doing this and he's not doing that and he's a Marxist. To me, what Brother Sarge said, and I may bring him on depending on how we do with time, so Brother Sarge don't go nowhere, but to me, Marxism, capitalism, all these things is just man-made governments to try to bring about the kingdom of the Most High. That's all it is. Man-made effort. Karl Marx was just fed up with a lot of the capitalism he was seeing, and capitalism, and he began to speak out, and that movement got popular. But it don't matter. Communism, Marxism, it don't matter. It's all man-made. All of them have flaws. All of them have flaws. If you want to be free of what Sarge was saying earlier, it only comes to one thing: kingdom principles. That's all I'm trying to say on this phone line. I'm saying it different ways. I'm speaking out against racism, blah, blah, blah. But I'm really saying the kingdom of the Most High. We got to love one another. We got to let no man seek his own wealth, but seek another man's wealth. That's what the scriptures say. I'm going to say it again. It says, labor not to be rich. Matter of fact, let me find the scripture for everybody real quick, because some of y'all think I'm just making this up. But the Bible says, labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Are you laboring to be rich? Well, of course you are. Everybody in the United States is. But that's not true all over the planet. Everybody is not laboring to be rich. We call those nations of people that don't labor to be rich, we call them third world countries. Or they're primitive, or they're ignorant. But I don't think so. I think when they don't labor to be rich, I think that's a higher way of living. You understand what I'm saying, Brother Gabriel? Brother Gabriel?
Hello? Yes, sir.
All I'm saying, folks, is what Brother Serge was saying, and I'm sure other people in the chat room were saying, I was kind of watching some of the comments, is, in a nutshell, their frustrations with Marxism and some of the other isms, I'm just going to say my own words. My own words is this. And when you talk about, if you defend capitalism, you're just as guilty as defending Marxism. If you defend communism, you're just as guilty as, you know, all of these isms is just man's effort to try to bring about what the Most High said he was going to do. We all have got to turn our hearts to him. Scripture says it like this. Most High was talking to Israel, but it's a good scripture for anybody. If my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their evil ways, seek the Most High's face, that's when salvation will come. We all have got to forsake all of these isms, and there won't be no 1% Sarge. There won't be no 90% poverty. I mean, 90% of the people living, you know, paycheck to paycheck, while 1% controls the wealth. Okay, so I'm not down with capitalism. I'm not down with the founding fathers. I'm not down with the Constitution, even though I think that what they do is they'll put a wonderful document like that, and then nobody practices it. So that's why I don't talk about the Constitution, because they'll keep waving that Constitution, blinding us with it, and then behind the scenes ain't nobody doing it, just like democracy. Democracy, of course I agree that we all should, you know, follow, let's vote, and let's go with what the vast majority of people want. That's a wonderful plan, but do they do it? No. If 1% of the United States given, I think the last I heard was 60% of campaign contributions. If 1% is given that much campaign contribution, that's the one that's controlling your government. We're not a democracy. We've been a democracy a long time ago. Probably never was. So we just got to quit playing these little games with people. Everybody likes
you know, the brother was saying earlier, has these abilities to murder, to be jealous. And he was saying earlier, they'll never go away. He's right. They'll never go away. But I'm not about to aspire to any of them. I ain't Marxist. I ain't communist. I ain't pro-democracy. I ain't pro-nothing that the United States stand for. I'm not, because they... Actually, let me say it a different way, because I actually am for some of the things the United States stand for. It's just that they're hypocrites. They don't really stand for it, like democracy. You know, at my job, if they want something done, yes, I want us all to take a vote. So I am for democracy. But I'm not for the way America practices democracy. That's what I'm trying to say. I believe in democracy, the principle, under certain circumstances, like they say, hey, what are we going to have for Thanksgiving? You know, not that I even celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm saying that on my job just today, they were saying, well, what do y'all want to eat? You know, well, if I'm going to be at work and they're going to be eating, I don't care if it's Thanksgiving or whatever, even though I don't celebrate it normally, I'll eat with them. I'm not going to be antisocial. I mean, because sometimes they can bring more problems than, you know. So I'm going to vote. Yeah, I think we should have vegetables or whatever. Okay? I like democracy for that reason, but to run a country full of immoral people, that's the last thing you can need to do is vote. If everybody's immoral, how are you going to vote for something? Whatever y'all going to vote for ain't going to work. So in that case, you need a powerful leader that fears the Most High to say, this is where we're going to go, this is the direction we go. Well, that is more like a dictatorship. So it depends, you know. I just look for the kingdom of the Most High to come, and I'm not being pie in the sky, super spooky. I really believe it's going to come. Brother Gabriel, I'm going to go ahead. If you don't have any, if you want to make a last comment, then I'm going to go ahead and close this out with a couple more comments. Did you want to make one last comment before I put you on hold?
Well, the only thing I had to say was like a comment from Brother said, murdering and all this
and
stuff.
And I'll get Sarge back on here in a second. Cause,
I just had one quick comment.
Nothing more than fair that he also come in because you've been on for a while, but go ahead.
No, all I wanted to say was he's right. It won't end until the Most High Son Jesus come back. I don't like to name Jesus, but that's what everybody know I'm at. Until Jesus come back, yes, all that will be, and all these false governments gonna rule. So dictatorship, Marxism, whatever you want to call it, don't matter. It's still gonna be against the people that's over them. So however, whatever you want to call it, Republican, Democrat, they all evil. So when you break it down to the root, they all go to the same place, do the same rituals, and basically their job is to desensitize and weaken the structure of the real people. So that's
all, right,
all I got to say. I'm going to say, Baruch Shalom, all praise to the Most High, in the name of Yeshaya, HaMashiach, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Shalom Israel. That was Brother Gabriel. I'm going to go ahead to Brother Sarge and just give him. Brother Sarge, before I bring you on, please, my brother, make it about 3 minutes, okay? I know you're long-winded like I am, but I just out of respect because you've been holding for a while here. I see you had your hand up. And so let's go ahead and go to Brother Sarge. Brother Sarge, give me some closing words, and we're going to wrap this up.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And again, I appreciate your giving me as much time as you have. I was really quite surprised. I have utterly no complaints. It is your show. I think you are a reasonable interlocutor for the exchange of ideas. We do not agree, but we were respectful, and I think we added more light than heat, and I think that was good. But I noticed that you are a very spiritual gentleman. You clearly have a thorough grasp on Christian religious principles. And you did know that Karl Marx said religion was the opiate of the people. And Vladimir Lenin was very critical of religion. This is what he said. He said atheism is a natural and inseparable part of Marxism, of the theory and practice of scientific socialism. And in the same book, Religion, he said religion is the opiate of the people. This saying of Marx is a cornerstone of the entire ideology of Marxism about religion. All modern religions and churches, all and of every kind of religious organizations, are always considered by Marxism as the organs of bourgeois reaction used for the protection of the exploitation and the stupefaction of the working class. And Nikolai Bukharin and Evgeny Preobrazhensky on religion, they said that religion and religion and communism. They said communism is incompatible with religious faith. And throughout Marxism, wherever it's been applied in every country, there's been heavy persecution of religious faith, particularly Christianity, because classically Christianity stands in opposition to much of Marxism, which is atheist. So it's not just a matter of man-made philosophies and another man-made. They are not equivalent. The Founding Fathers made the most brilliant document in the history of mankind for liberty and good civil governance. Note, I didn't say perfect, because it is not. In fact, they recognize its imperfections. Why do they recognize its imperfections? Because they understood, being Christians, they understood they and every other human being was fallen. They accepted the fallen biblical explanation of the fallen, corrupted nature of man. And being corrupted and corruptible and recognizing it in themselves, they sought to set up a government of limited powers where power was diffused, dispersed, so you would not or be less likely to get a dictatorship. So any one imperfect human being could not get too much control to exercise tyranny over his fellow man. And they put within that brilliant document an amendatory process to try to correct its faults, because they recognized it was imperfect and would need correction in the future. It was brilliant. It wasn't perfect.
Let me ask you
something.
It was
the most brilliant, best government document for governance ever.
Now, hold on. I said 3 minutes in your office. I want to ask you a quick question. I know it's after 3 minutes, but what did the Founding Fathers have to say about African Americans and being a man?
Quite a bit. It was the most hotly contested issue at the 1787 Constitutional Convention. It was the one thing that actually threatened to not allow a union of all 13 states, because the southern slave states were not going to vote for abolishing slavery within the United States and join the union through the form of the Constitution. So what they provided was a compromise in Article 1 of the Constitution, called the Three-Fifths Compromise. You will notice in the Constitution there is no reference to race until the 14th Amendment. It's not even mentioned. The word Negro, Black, White, Caucasian, it's not even mentioned anywhere in the Constitution. If you read it, just as you notice in the Constitution, the word democracy is never in the Constitution, because we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, or we're supposed to be. Republic is mentioned three times in the Constitution. But again, back to the issue of which you questioned me. Slavery, slaves, is not even mentioned in the Constitution. What it says is that all other persons, which was persons not taxed, Indians, and certain others, and all other persons, in which this case they meant slaves. You notice they said persons. Person means a human being. They were accepting the fact that people who were enslaved were fully human. They didn't call them chattel or property. They said persons, all other persons. This means slaves. Look at Article 1.
Brother,
read it.
Hold on.
Apportionment, these persons will be considered three special persons for purposes of congressional apportionment. The slave states wanted them to count as one whole person. The anti-slave states said you're not giving them full rights. What? How could it be right to count for a whole person so you'll have more representation in Congress? So the compromise, the anti-slavery compromise, was that for purposes of congressmen, in other words, how many congressmen you have in your state, the slaves would be counted as three-fifths of a person. It had no reflection whatsoever on the humanity or the value as human beings. None. It was simply a device to lessen the influence of the slave states. Let me ask you something.
Okay, let me jump in here.
Now, you do understand now, that, sir.
Hold on. Because we're winding
down now. I just
want
to make sure we're clear on that.
Hold on a second, brother.
Do you agree or do you not?
I am not that up on the Constitution's history enough to agree with you right now. Let me just say this. All I know is, under the Constitution, we experience hell. Under the Constitution, our people was exploited. Under the Constitution, all these white people,
that say it's such a wonderful document. I'm not crazy about something hanging on my wall that's a wonderful document. I'm more impressed by what is implemented, and what is implemented and has been implemented and is being implemented in the United States is white supremacist racism. And what is implemented in the United States is capitalism. What is implemented in the United States is the good old boy system. So much so we have 1% that is ruling and owns the country. We have a major, major, major problem in the United States. The Constitution is something that needs to be hung on the wall, and it's wonderful. And if it's what you just said, I'm even impressed. I mean, you said a few things. Most of it I didn't know, but you said a few things I didn't know. But what does that mean? Sarge, what does that mean? You defending the Constitution. What does that mean if you can't
hold on.
My brother, let me say this, please. Let me just say this, Sarge. I'm saying this to you, no matter how wonderful that document is, I'm beginning to agree with you that maybe he's right, it is a wonderful document. I actually want to go read it after talking to you. But what does it matter if I have hardcore in-your-face proof that nobody implemented? So what am I saying to you? I'm saying forget about the founding fathers. They owned slaves. They presided over slavery.
Not all of them did.
Listen, hold on. Our people was treated as cattle. Okay, all I'm saying is I have no respect for no founding fathers. I have respect for the founding fathers maybe in the scriptures. I have a respect for African founding fathers of our planet, but I'm not about to pay no homage to some people that brought me to a prison, and our people is in this prison being exploited, and we're at the bottom of society under the Constitution. But I don't feel you on that at all. So we do disagree. So listen, I got to wrap the show up. I'm going to give you the last words. Please make it 3 minutes. Please make it 3 minutes
okay.
So I can wrap it up.
All right.
Go ahead.
You know, I've never required that anyone agree with me. I'm not a fascist. I don't require agreement. All I ask for is clarity. You've made your position clear on this. You don't agree with me. I do not agree with you. I do revere the founders. I think they were the greatest human beings in the history of mankind for the eventual realization of liberty. You do not agree with me. That's okay.
Okay, hold on one second.
I keep trying to
wrap this up, but you keep saying stuff that just makes me just go through the roof. Now,
hold on.
I'm going to give you the mic, but I want to ask you a question. Say that one more time. You think they was the greatest what?
I'll say it again. They were, in the history of mankind, the greatest, the greatest, unequivocally, exponents of human liberty within a framework of government to ever put a document to paper. Yes. Yes, absolutely. I believe that in my heart.
Explain
it completely. Look at the context in which it was written. It was written in the 18th century. Slavery as an institution existed in every single state on the planet. Without exception, in one form or another, slavery existed everywhere, to include the American colonies before the founding of the United States.
Hold on, my brother. I look at it like I do when I go to my job. When I first walk into the personnel office, they got all these signs that says, this is your right. Minimum wage laws, they got all types of we do not discriminate based upon race, creed, color. They got all these wonderful constitution-like messages when we see. And I, along with every other non-white person, and some white people even, go through hell on these jobs. We are first, a lot of us are the first to be hired, last to be hired, first to be fired, not overwork, underpaid, please, man.
But
so you can
not
take
the fault
that
of the Constitution.
Hold on.
The Constitution is not responsible for your individual well-being. You are, primarily.
I don't get what you're saying. How can you be making
Let me explain to you what the Constitution is responsible for. because it's not responsible for everyone's well-being. It's responsible to allow Americans the right to life, liberty, and listen carefully. This is one of the – this is not in the Constitution. It's in the Declaration. But the Declaration provided the cornerstone for much of why the Constitution was written the way it was written. The Constitution has no legal impact, no legal standing, but it is a reference to what the framers were thinking when they wrote the Constitution. And what the Declaration says is you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not the guarantee of it, the pursuit of it. You are responsible for your well-being primarily, along with the help of your neighbors and those you can enlist to your cause and those whose cause you can enlist yourself to. That's it. It's not.
Let me ask you a question.
You didn't let me make my point about the Constitution.
Your
when
points
I wrote
are
about
too long. You got to wrap this up, my brother. Your points are too long. It's not a show. We're not doing
show. Make it real quick. You didn't even give me a chance to make it. And that wasn't when it was written in the context of the 19th century and slavery existed everywhere. There was only one place on the planet where there was an organized social political movement to end slavery. That was in the Western world, primarily Britain, France, and the United States. It didn't exist anywhere. It didn't exist in China. It didn't exist anywhere in Asia. Sure as hell didn't exist anywhere in Africa. But only.
Why would it exist in Africa?
Hold on.
Listen. This is what I want to do. I'm going to give you the invitation to, not to a debate, but I want you to
Please listen.
We got to wrap this up, which means we got to shut up, okay? Both of us, because we got to go, because there's people on the line. I'm sure they're saying this is good, but I want y'all to wrap it up. So listen, I invite you this Thursday. Because I feel like you're getting into what we deal with on Thursdays, what's really going on. You're talking about the Constitution, talking about the Founding Fathers. I would like, and I'll even put your name on the show that you're going to be on and what we're going to be talking about. And I'll listen, please. If you are available Thursday, midnight. I don't do this to everybody, only people I feel like you really got something to say. But I think what you got something to say, but you're a little, I think people need to hear what you're saying. And I would love to know what they have to say to what you're saying.
Hold on,
my brother. You got to have respect. Just let me get this out now. I'm saying I would like to invite you Thursday. Come on, and you can finish. You can finish. You can talk.
Eastern Pacific Central. Central Standard Time. Okay.
So I would like to invite you, and I feel like if you're on as a co-host, you don't have to yell because you got the mic. And you can say as much as you want to say. So I'm inviting you to come on, and we're going to discuss the Constitution. We're going to discuss the Founding Fathers. And this thing I hear that you have, you know, that you said it was the greatest men, and this was the greatest institution, and they was the ones fighting for the slaves, to end slavery.
I didn't say that exactly.
You didn't say that exactly. It's the same thing. You were saying fighting for the liberation. I mean, you just used different wording.
No,
okay.
As a principle.
What you said, what you did say was Africa was not involved. I want to challenge
that.
No,
Africa absolutely was not involved. There was no political institutions, social institutions, comparable to the abolition societies in Britain, France, and the United States.
Well put. Listen, I'm going to have to end the show now. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to play a song. We're going to get out of here. But listen, are you willing to accept the invitation on Thursday to come on and talk about all of these things you talked about and whatever else is on your mind? Because I think you and I are different, and I think it's a good difference because you actually do bring a lot to the table. I don't invite just anybody on. You have a lot to say, and I think the difference is very much needed. I think people need to hear what you're saying because a lot of people do still feel like that about the Founding Fathers that are so-called African-Americans. I happen to not. I happen to think it don't matter what they did or what the Constitution was about, if we're suffering racism, it don't matter what that was. So I have no respect for it because it don't work. I mean, well, I would like to put it on my wall and say it's a great document. They will do that. I'll give it that much glory. But I'm not going to be sitting up dogging out Africa saying they ain't do this and they ain't do that when everything comes from Africa. We're different. So Thursday, midnight,
Central Standard Time. Can you be there? Brother Serge? Sarge? I think I lost him. Anyway, if you can be there, my brother, please let me know. I'm going to bear with me. I'm going to type and send him a little message in the chat room. But folks, listen. If you can, please join us on Thursday. I'm going to talk to that brother. He's going to talk to me. And we're going to deal, finish dealing on this whole issue with founding fathers. It's still on the subject of the one world government, what's really going on and all that. So we'll have him on for a little bit on Thursday if he wouldn't accept. If not, we'll just go ahead with our program. So anyway, check this out. I'm going to go ahead and end on playing a song. Y'all know I always got to have a song that kind of talks to what we're talking about. So I want y'all to listen to this song and listen to the words and be blessed. Thank y'all for stopping by. You are really something to have picked this show. So many other shows you could have picked. So many other topics you could have been involved with, but you chose this show. And it means something to me. That tells me that you're not just, twiddling your thumbs. You are trying to be responsible, like the Most High said, Messiah said, in being aware of the times and the seasons. So Messiah gave us that warning to be aware of the times and the seasons, and you've done just that. So I want to thank everybody, and I want to go out with this song, all right? Shalom. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And this is Elijah and the Revelation. The name of this song is This Is Not a Christian Nation.
Jesus Christ, this is not a Christians.